Yud Gimel Maor Cheshvan, Thursday the 10th of November, Rabbi David Stern. The Chi of Mila of Bnei Keturah.
Chi of Mila is actually something which broadly began last week, of course. Continues this week. And a little bit continues into next week as well, with a discussion which I'll tell you about in a second concerning the Bnei Keturah. It says in Parashat Yisrael, Vayesh Avram, Vayikach Isha, Shmo Keturah, Avram took a third wife called Keturah, Vatered Loi, Zimron, Vesyokshan, etc. She bore him six sons. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, that Nun Tes on the base, discusses why is it that Bnei Noach, non-Jews, don't have a mitzvah of Mila. After all, the mitzvah of Mila was given pre-Matan Torah to Avraham Avinu, and therefore should be incumbent upon all mankind. And the Gemara explains, because it says in Parashat Lech Lecha, Aloshon of Zera Ato V'Zaracho, and the Torah says, Ki B'Yitzchok Yikorei L'chol Zora, so that it's only Yitzchok and B'Yitzchok V'Loi Kol Yitzchok, which is to exclude Esav, it's only therefore not Yishmael and not Esav, but the seed of Yitzchok through Yaakov, which are considered Zera Avram, and therefore Atav Zaracho is limited to Zera Avram, and only the seed of Yaakov are commanded in the midst of Mila. So the Gemara over there continues to say, and basically, by the way, this shir on the Mechas Chinuch, Mitzvah base, Ois Yud base. The Gemara there continues to say, Elo Me'ato B'nei Keturah Lo Lichayvu. So are we then going to suggest that the Avraham Avinu did not circumcise his own sons after HaKadosh Baruch Hu having commanded him to circumcise Yilid Beis and Miknas Kesef? Did he not then circumcise his own sons which he bore later on from Keturah Elam? Rashi says it's implausible to consider that Avraham Avinu would not have had the Chiv and would not have mullered his sons born from Keturah. So the Gemara responds, Ha'amar Rebbeis Zarovim, he came Rebbeis Rechanina, as Grisi Hefar L'Rabois B'nei Keturah. There is a ribui in Parshat Lech Lecha, in Parshat Mila, it says, es brisi hefar, and those words are superfluous, and they're coming to be marbe b'nei Keturah. That b'nei Keturah were indeed mechuyev in the mitzvah of Mila. Now, there is a machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi over there in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Tes Omid Beis, tells us that the ribui is limited to those six sons of Keturah, Yokshon, Madon, and the rest of them, were Nischayev B'Mila. But after their demise, their descendants in turn, there's no mitzvah of Mila. Why the Gemara discusses something which happened thousands of years ago is maybe an issue, according to Rashi. But B'nei Keturah, Rashi learned, only those six B'nei Keturah were Nischayev B'Mila. But the Rambam, in Hilchas Melochim, disagrees. And the Rambam says that in, according to the conclusion of the Gemara, B'nei Keturah L'Doros Olam, all B'nei Keturah, right, if there's a fellow you know out there in your workplace who claims that Keturah was his great-great-great-grandma, then he would have a mitzvah of Mila, because B'nei Keturah have a mitzvah of Mila in the same way that we have a mitzvah of Mila. That's how the Rambam passes. And the Rambam concludes with the following statement. This is in Perik Yud of Melochim Halacha Ches. The Rambam says, Omru Chachomim, שבני קיטורה צפר חיוב במילה, והויל ונסערבו היום בני ישמו ובני קיטורה. Because today the descendants of ישמו have mingled with the descendants of קיטורה, somewhere amongst the Arabian populations there is some descendants of ישמו, some descendants of קיטורה, and they're all mixed together, says the Rambam. Therefore, נסחייבו הכל במילה בשמיני. This is totally independent of perhaps the custom, I don't know if it's still prevalent, where perhaps Arabs or Muslims did circumcise their children like Yishmael at the age of 13, but that wouldn't have been Torah mandated. But the Rambam paskens that B'nai Keturah are required to do Mila, and since today the B'nai Yishmael and the B'nai Keturah are mixed up and they don't know if they're from Yishmael or from Hagar, i.e. or from Keturah, therefore the Rambam says, Nischayvu HaKol, they're all required, min HaTorah, to do Mila B'Shmini on the 8th day like we are, but Ve'ein Ne'erod Yenolel. They will not get killed if they do not. And there's Machlokes, the Kesef Mishnah, the Mishnah Lamelech, what that means. The Kesef Mishnah understands Ein Ne'erod Yenolel means because only on Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach is non-fulfillment requiring a death penalty as a Rosson Zui Misoson, but this is an eighth mitzvah, as it were, for them to do Mila, and therefore that doesn't come with a death penalty. So even if they knew themselves to be a Ben Keturah, they still would not be Einer Ogen Olah. That's how the Kesef Mishnah, as Mishnah says, no, on the contrary. They're required to do Mila, and if they don't do Mila, they're as guilty of a death penalty as they would be if they didn't keep any of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. When the Rambam concludes and says Ve'einer Ogen Olah, it's because they don't know if they are B'nai Keturah or not. So they're all required, they come together, they are all required to do Mila, says the Rambam, Misofik. But if they don't, we cannot kill any one of them because we don't know if he is from the B'nai Keturah or not, and therefore we can't give him an Azhorah, and he cannot be killed. I take that back, because I don't say they don't require an Azhorah, but according to them, they can't be killed because they're only Misofik. And that's the Rambam's intent with Einer Ogen Olah. But the bottom line is, the Rambam paskens that all, as I said, Arab descendants would be required to do Mila Bishmini because of the doubt that they might indeed be descended from Keturah. Now the Shagas Aryeh in Simon Memtes discusses this Rambam at length, and at the very end he raises the following problem he has with the Rambam. There's a Mishnah in Yodayim, Perek Dalad, Mishnah Dalad. I haven't actually yet learnt Yodayim, but this Mishnah is brought in Brochus in Daf Chof Ches Omed Aleph, where it's better known from. And the Mishnah discusses the prohibition to intermarry with anyone from Amoy and Moyav. Akein lo yavoy Amoymi u'moyovi v'tal Hashem. And the Mishnah says that there was a gentleman called Yehuda, who was a Ger Amoyimi. Mishnah's Boy B'Yom, it's on, referring to the day when Gamliel was displaced from his Nasius. Mishnah's Boy B'Yom, on that very day, Bo Yehudi, Yehuda or Ger Amoyimi, V'Omad Lefneim, he entered the Beis Medrash, where there was this debate going on between Gamliel and Rabbi Shua, and he, Yehuda Ger Amoyimi, said, Omar Lehem, Ma Ani Lovei V'Kol, can I get married? They've read me a very nice Shidduch over here. Can I get married with a Jewish girl? Ma ani lovei b'kol. So Rabbi Gamliel's immediate response was, Omar Rabbi Gamliel, also you cannot. You can convert, you can keep Torah and mitzvahs, but you cannot intermarry with one of us because you're an Amoyni and you're forbidden to come lovei b'kol. Omar Rabbi Shua, so Rabbi Shua objected and said to Rabbi Gamliel, B'chi Amoyni v'moy oven bim koyman hein yoishvin? Wait a minute, this fellow might have an Amoinian passport, but is he a genuine Amoini? Kva ola Sancherev Melech Ashur ubilbel es kol umois. Sancherev, the king of Ashur, came and displaced all the nations. He was taken from this country and put there, and he was taken from this country and put there, and they've all been this Balbal, and no one today can truly have any knowledge what his ancestry is. An Amoini isn't to be considered an Amoini, a Mitzri is not to be considered a Mitzri, Mitzri has been machlokes about that, but an Adomi is not considered an Adomi, a Moyavi, etc. And therefore, the majority of nations are of course not Amoinim. So any person who comes before us, the Roiv nations are not Amoinim. There is a Miut nation which is an Amoini or a Moyavi or a Mitzri, but they're in the minority. There are 70 or 66 nations which can intermarry. It's only around 4 or so that cannot intermarry, and therefore said Rabbi Shua to Rabbi Gamliel that we can say that called a Porish Meruba Porish, and therefore there's no reason why we shouldn't allow this Yehuda Ger Amoini to marry one of us. And the Mishnah concludes there, the Gemara brings it down, Hitiru Lovoi V'Kol. And the Rambam passing this Halacha in Pe'echof Mehilt Yisori Bira Halacha Chofei, I'll read that very briefly. Sha'ol Sancher Melech Ashur Bilbel Eskal Umayz Ve'irbam Zeh Bezeh Eilu Amisim She'ev Eretz Mitzrayim Atal Noshim Achirim. The men in Egypt are now different. Ha'edoim should stay Edoim, or not really true Edomites. V'hoven is Arvo Arvo Umayz Ha'asurim B'chol Umayz Shev O'ilam Hutzar Ha'kol She'kol Ha'pirish Mehem Lizgai Cheskosay She'pirish Min Aroiv L'fichlach She'gai Geb Izman Hazeh Bein Adoni Bein Mitzri Bein Amoini Bein Yomi Bein Kushi Echol Zchorim echol akevois mutorim lovoi v'kol miyal. Freik the Shagas Aryeh. If that's the case, Why does the Rambam go and pass an halacha lemaaseh in his sefer Hilchos Melachim that anyone who might be from Bnei Keturah, he grew up, he's from the Bnei Yishmael, and Bnei Yishmael and Bnei Keturah have intermingled with one another, they have to ensure, and their parents have to ensure, that they have a mila done on the eighth day because they might be from Bnei Keturah. For the Shagasari, after Sancher came, Wilbus Kalo Oilam, so those living in the Yishmael lands are no longer to be considered Bnei Yishmael, those living in the Keturah lands are no longer to be considered Bnei Keturah. The majority of nations of the world are not from Bnei Keturah, and therefore any individual should be able to consider himself the Porish, Meruba Porish, to have been Porish from those nations that are not required to do Mila, and therefore why is the Rambam Paskal that they have to do Mila? Why can we not apply the rule of Kol the Porish, Meruba Porish, in the same way that we do when it comes to an Amoni intermarrying? That's the question of the Shagasari, and as a result of that question, he, as it were, disagrees with the Rambam, and says that there's no need for anyone today to do Mila, wherever they live, it makes no difference. He's discussing, I think, gypsies over there, do they have to do Mila? And he concludes that they don't have to do Mila. Their ancestry cannot be established, because called the Porosh, Meruba Porosh. That's the question of the Shag Zari. The Michas Chinuch, when bringing the question of the Shag Zari, clarifies for us, he says that the Shag Zari's intent in asking on the Rambam is not that the Bnei Keturah, the Bnei Yishmael are the majority, and the Bnei Keturah are the minority, and therefore we should say Kol the Porosh and Meruba Porosh. But he says that wouldn't be a question on the Rambam, because on the contrary, Keturah had six sons, Chagah had one son, and population patterns would seem to indicate that therefore there are a majority of Bnei Keturah rather than a majority of Bnei Yishmael. But he says the intent of the Shagas Ari is that in the entire world there is a majority of nations that are not Mechuyiv B'Mila, and therefore why should the Rambam require anyone, even from Bnei Yishmael, Bnei Keturah, / Bnei Keturah, to do Mila? Why can they not consider themselves to have been Purish Meruba and be potter from doing Mila? That is the question of the Shagas Ari on the Rambam. So, in Tshuvas Noida Yehuda, Madura Tignona Eben Oeza Simon Men's base, there's a Tshuva from the son of the Noida Yehuda, Tshuva Miben HaMechaber, who discusses this question of the Shagas Ari and offers the following answer. We have a rule called the Porish Meruba Porish. Where do we know that you can assume that something came from the majority? So there's a whole discussion in the Gemara, Maseches Chulin, Daf Yud Aleph. Those of you learning Daf Yom would have learned it not all that long ago, where the Gemara distinguishes between a Ruba de Issa Kamon, a Ruba de Leis Kamon, a Ruba de Issa Kamon, says the Gemara, is learned from the Pasuk of Achar Rabban Hatot, that when you have a Sanhedrin or a Bezdin, you can follow the majority view. So we see that you count up the heads and you follow the majority view, that for Ruba de Issa Kamon, Achar Rabban Hatot is Ruba de Leis Kamon, which is a statistical type of roiv. The Gemara brings various riyas from numerous places, Pesach, Tochim, Shechita, Poraduma, various cases where it would seem that we can rely on a majority, on things being like the majority of things are. Says the son of the Noda Yehuda, all these sources are sources which pertain to Klal Yisrael. Achar Yavim Lahatzos, for example, is something which is specific to Klal Yisrael, because a goy can be judged by Dayan Echod. It doesn't require a majority of three, let alone 23, and therefore there's no source to say that with goyim we follow the majority. And all the other sources as well, he mentions, that the Gemara mentions there, are halachas which are specific to Klal Yisrael, and from there we derive that you can follow a roi. But with a goy, there is no source whatsoever to say that he has the right to rely on something coming his way, having come from the majority, having been perished from the roi. And therefore, he says, a goy has to be cheshish lemiut. When the goy is faced with a din and his two options are, is it from perhaps the majority or is it perhaps from the minority? He has to treat it as a sofuk, as a 50-50 doubt. Because we can rely on roiv, but a goy has no source to rely on roiv. So, says the son of the Nevi Yudah, very gishmak. According to this, we can answer the Shagas Ari's question. Yehuda Ger Amoni, or any Ger from Amon, right? So he comes and he asks the rabbi, can I intermarry? So the rabbi says to him, looks up the Mishnah, the Gemara Brothers, and he says, yes, you can intermarry, because Sancher is Bival Kala Olam, majority of people are not Amoinim, you can intermarry. Now this fellow, before he converted, was a goy, true. But now he's converted, he's a yid. As a yid, he has a right to rely on Rav. So he can say, I've got a right as a yid now to rely on the halacha of Rav. I have come from the majority of nations who are not Amoinim, and therefore called the Porosh and the Porosh, and therefore he can marry whoever he wishes. But in the case that the Rambam is discussing, we're talking about Ghveis, Fatima, who's gone and had a baby, Ahmed. And the question is now, is there a chiv on Muhammad to mal little Ahmed there? So they're going. So they cannot say, listen, the majority of nations are not from Keturah, and therefore I'm not going to mal my child because I can rely on the fact that we are from the majority of nations that are not B'nai Keturah. They have no right to rely on the fact that they're from the majority of nations that are not from Keturah, because they're goyim. And goyim have no right to rely on Roiv. There's no concept of Roiv. There's no limit of Roiv by goyim. And therefore they have to be choshesh that they are indeed from the miut of B'nai Keturah. And that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says that all B'nai Shmuel and B'nai Keturah have to do Mila. I, Fred the Shagasari, why should I have to do Mila after Sancher was Mabal, but it's Kala Oilam, they should have a right to rely on called the Porosh Mura Porosh. And for the son of Anodi Behuda, that no, as Goyim, they cannot rely on this concept called Roiv, which we're so familiar with, and therefore they have to do Mila Misafik. It's only once somebody is a Yid, and has converted, for example, that he's the halachic states of a Yid, that he can rely on the halacha of Roiv.
Every Goyim in the entire world entitled to be to mother's child. Oh.
So the Minchas Chinuch comes along and addresses this answer offered by the son of Anodi Behuda on the Shagas Arias question. And he says that it's not satisfactory, this answer. Because he says, if you are right that the Rambam's Psak is based on the fact that a goy cannot rely on Roiv, why does the Rambam merely say that Bnei Yishmael, because Hovenis Arvayon Bnei Keturah with Bnei Yishmael, so Bnei Yishmael have to do Mila because they might arguably be Bnei Keturah. Why does Rambam limit his psak to Bnei Yishmael? The Rambam should have said, any guy in whichever part of the world he lives has to do Mila because he might be from the center of Keturah, and his ancestors moved out, you know, to America, wherever it was, and he should have to do Mila. I, the majority of nations, are not from Bnei Keturah, but he cannot rely on Roiv. And therefore, every guy should be choshesh to the miut that he is descended from B'nai Keturah. The Rambam therefore also paskens, like Rabbi Yanki is saying, that every guy should have to do Mila out of the chashash that he might be from the B'nai Keturah. But the Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam says that the B'nai Yishmael have to do Keturah. So he says that is really the intent of the Shagas Aryeh in his question. Mamashuch of the Shagas Aryeh gemeinte fregen. Is the Rambam happy that a guy should rely on Roiv, frek the Shagas Aryeh? Then why should the B'nai Yishmael have to do Mila? They too should be allowed to rely on the fact that the majority of nations have no chiv mila and they are called the Porosh and Rura Porosh. So the Rambam should not require anyone to do mila. And if the Rambam, like the son of Yehuda, is contending, is not happy for a goy to rely on Roiv, then the Rambam should have said that all nations have to do mila. But to just say that Bnei Yishmael have to do mila still remains shver.
I was just thinking that Sancher, but he conquered where he conquered. He didn't conquer the whole world. He only mixed up the Middle East.
Okay, so I don't know, you know, the historical fact, as it were, but certainly from the point of view of Chazal, the entire civilized world, as it was then known, I don't know about the Aborigines, but he conquered the entire world. The Roshan of Chazal is Bilbel as Kol Olam. And we can assume that anyone who comes has been his Balbals. His ancestors have been Muslims. That's what the halacha is. How much seems quite with historical fact, I'm not 100% certain.
Why is it that the real can come
to you?
Just
new born. So what? He has a halacha of Kabsana, but he's now a Yid, so he has a right to rely on Roy. Pardon? Not
the Armonians,
isn't it? The Armonians are not Armonians. The Torah forbids an Armonian to intermarry. It doesn't mean a Goyish Armonian, it means a Jewish Armonian. The Torah says Le'ol Amoini means an Amoini who converts. Of course, that's the issue of the Torah. If he's a goy, it's versus Chachabob. We're talking about an Amoini who converts, is not allowed him to marry. That is the issue. Yeah, that's the Mitzvah Sheni, Mitzvah Shlishi. It's talking about even who, these nations that have converted already, they're already Jewish. He might be concerned as far as Kurva and Erevot status is concerned, but as far as his genealogy is concerned, he's still an Amoni or a Mitzri. That's clear. Certainly. Yeah. Correct. So that was originally the case, but after Sancheirah's times, the Gemara teaches us, the Mishnah teaches us that no longer is relevant because they're not to be considered true Amorim. Just by way of explaining, the Shagas Arya's take on the matter is that they should all be Potter. That means we're saying the Shagas Arya was asking Monoshev, either they should all be Mechuyev because they can't rely on Roiv, or if they can rely on Roiv, then even the Bnei Yishmael should be Potter. And the Shagas Arya's take is that they actually can rely on Roiv, and his reasoning seems to be, the Mitzchinuch seems to intimate, and the Reb Yehuda, his son, also seems to intimate, that the reasoning of the Shagas Arya would seem to be because there is a rule called Mir Kemeda. For example, the Gemara Chulin Daf Lamed Gimel discusses an animal that has had a shechita and is still mefarches. It's not dead yet. A yid may eat it, because after shechita is matter. For a goy, l'chayre ought to be forbidden al tevim and achai, because it's still flapping around, it's still alive. But the Gemara says, no, it's impossible. Mi kemida, can there be something which for yidin is permitted and for goyim is forbidden? Can it be that the goyim have got a more strict halacha than a yid? It's impossible. And based on that sort of mi kemida, it seems that the Shagas Arya was of the opinion that likewise when it comes to relying on roiv, although the son they use is correct, that there is no source that a goy can rely on roiv. But if a yid can rely on roiv, l'kula, that alone calls for the fact that a goy should also be able to rely on roiv, because it cannot be that a yid should be able to be more lenient and rely on a majority and be lenient on that basis, and a goy should have to be choshesh to a miut and would have to be machmer. And therefore, based on this svara of mir kemida, that for a yid it's permitted and for a goy it's also, the shakran seem to have been of the opinion that, since in this case, had they been Eden, these people, they could rely on the majority that they are from the majority of nations who are not Mechuyev Mila, therefore a goy likewise should be entitled to rely on the fact that he's from the majority of nations and not from them, despite the fact that he has no halacha of roiv, because he cannot be treated and have a more stringent din than a yid. Al kaponim, that is the Shagas Arya's kasha on the Rambam, which I'm not going to go ahead and resolve. I'll leave that to the Olam. I just want to conclude with a piece of the Michas Chinuch, who says that, fine, he says, that's the kasha of Shagas Arya. I, Michas Chinuch, am satisfied that that is the intent of the Shagas Arya and his kasha. Why did the Rambam, why was he Mechayev Bnei Shmuel? Either everyone should be Mechayev, or if not, then they should be Potter as well. And we explained, because of Mi'a Kemida, they should be able to rely on Roiv in as much as a Yid can rely on Roiv. But for the Michas Chinuch, I'm bothered by a different problem with the Rambam, which is, right, I hope that everyone follow through this to the end. The Rambam says that all Bnei Yishmael have to do Mila because they might be from Bnei Keturah. So, Frey the Michas Chinuch, I'm bothered, and Shagas Arya says, I don't understand why they should be able to rely on Roiv. So the Michas Chinuch, no, they cannot rely on Roiv. And in fact, therefore, my difficulty with the Rambam is that all nations should be Mechuyev to the Mila, and Sancheirah's bilbon of the Olam should not be relevant. They should not be able to rely on called the Porosh Meruba Porosh, different to a Ger Amoyim who comes. Why? Because we have a rule as follows. We have a rule, very briefly. We're going through all the difficult Yisaydis over here. But we have a rule of Kol Kavua Kemechza Amechza Doma. Okay, so briefly, there's a subject mentioned in the Gemara. You have 9 shops selling kosher meat, 1 selling non-kosher meat. So it says, Beninsa Halot Acharei. If you find a piece of meat on the street, you can say it probably came from one of the 9 selling the kosher meat, called the Porish, Meruba Porish. But if somebody went into one of the stores, and the latest asofik which he has is which store did he enter? He forgets which store he entered, but he's picked up the meat in one of the stores, and we know that one of these 10 stores does sell non-kosher meat. So the halacha is that if the latest asofik takes place in the mochim of the kvios, which is a store selling meat, and of those stores, one of them is kavua that it's selling isra. Kol kavua kemechta amechta. Doma, this situation has to be considered like a 50-50 situation, and the meat is thus forbidden because it has to be treated like a sofek isra. Kol kavua kemechta amechta. So, freak the mechasim. If that's the case, then why does the Shagzari assume that a person could rely on the fact that he's from the majority of nations who are not mechuyav b'mila? Somewhere out there in the world, there is a descendant of Keturah. Yes, we don't know where. Sanchera came and did a whole mix-up. We've got no idea where the descendants of Keturah are today. But somewhere out there, there are descendants of Keturah. And therefore, for the Mechus Chinuch, all nations and all goyim shall be required to do Mila, because since there is an Issa Kavua out there, or someone who's Mechuyiv b'mila out there, we should apply the rule of Kol Kavua Kemechta Amechta Doma, and anyone who comes before us, right, we shouldn't be able to say to them, listen, you can safely assume you're from the majority of nations who are not Mechuyiv b'mila. How can I say, even if they were Yidden and they could rely on Roiv, which some of the Yidden contended they couldn't, and Atmiya Kemeda was saying perhaps they could, but even if the rule of Roiv could be applied to them, in this instance, how could we apply the rule of Roiv to them, being that there is an Issa Kavua out there, someone who's Mechuyiv in Mila out there, a Ben Keturah somewhere, a descendant of Keturah somewhere out there who's Mechuyiv in Mila, therefore everyone ought to be treated like a Kemechta Mechta, a case of 50-50, where he doesn't know whether he is or isn't, and despite the fact that he's in the, that, you know, the vast majority of people are not Mechuyiv, but somewhere there is someone who is Mechuyiv, that we should apply the rule of Kol Kavua Kemechta Mechta, and thus require everyone to have a Mila Misofik because of the Issa Kavua that is out there.
There's only a Misofik out there.
Now, there's no, it's not only a Misofik that's out there, there's definitely out there. What Sancherev did was, yes, it's like, you know, if you had over here someone who's Mechuyiv in Mila, and you had hundreds of balls that is Mechuyiv in Mila, you went and you mixed it up, whatever, and now it's all in the box together. But there still is this thing in there which is Mechuyiv b'mila. We just don't know where it is, but we know that it's there somewhere.
It's shaykh, but all the Bnei Keturah have been wiped out over the years.
Why wiped out?
Maybe we're not talking about genocide, the Holocaust. Maybe they don't exist anymore.
Okay, you're coming with a new thing of maybe. But I think the Shagzari is basing himself on what we find in the Mishnah Yodayim, which is that there was a bilbul, but not that there was any subsequent, you know, disappearance of nations. There was just a bilbul. A bilbul means that an Amoni doesn't know for a fact that he's an Amoni, but there are Amonim out there, there are Amoyim out there, and there are Bnei Keturah out there. Bishlom, when an Amoni converts, so then the actual conversion, I don't want to get too involved in this, the actual conversion is a Pirush, and therefore we can apply a cause of Pirush and a Pirush, because the mere change of status is a Pirush. But in the case of the guy who wants to consider should he mal his child or not, says the Minchasinuch, we also apply the rule of Kol Kavua Kemechta Mechta Doma. Now, I'll just try and briefly finish with one point. It says in Mechasim, if you might argue, similar to what, not similar to what you're saying, but you might argue that Kavua is only said when we know where the Issa is. You have 9 shops, right? And you have a tent. You know where the tent shop is. It's right there. He went into a shop. He doesn't know which shop he went into, but the Issa is nikar b'mekoyim. But you might argue that if an Issa is there somewhere, you know it's there somewhere, but you've got no idea where, the Issa is not nikar, maybe the rule of Kavua does not apply. And there are certain Ashrayim who say this, but the Mechus Chinuch says that it seems that many poskim hold that even if the Issa is not nikar, you do say Kavua. And the example he gives, and with this I'll conclude, this is just all food for thought, is the following case. There's a Gemara in Nozah which says, if somebody says to a Shliach, say the Kaddish li'isha, go and be mekadosh on my behalf a lady. Somewhere out there in the wide world, go and be mekadosh on my behalf a lady. So the Gemara says, this man is now forbidden to marry any lady. And the Shliach, he never hears from the Shliach again, right? He doesn't know who, what. He can't marry any lady. Why can't he marry any lady? Chazok Shliach, oise shlichus. No doubt the Shliach fulfilled his shlichus, his mandate. Was mekadosh somewhere a lady. Now you're going to go up to a lady and meet her. You don't know, she might be a relative, a sister, mother, daughter of this lady whom the Shliach Adim Kachin Yobav, and therefore she's an erevah to you, and therefore you can no longer marry anyone. The majority of women out there, of course, are not relatives of this lady who your Shliach would have been Mekadosh. Says the Rambam, says the Rashba, it's because somewhere out there he was Mekadosh, a lady who has a sister or a mother or something, And kol kavua kamech tamech zomer, there is an issa out there. So although we don't know where the issa is, the rule of kol kavua still applies. Tosfos actually in Nozir, Daf Dalet, I believe, disagrees and says that since we don't know where the issa is, there's no halach of kavua. And that which the Gemara says you cannot marry any other lady, isn't this a drabom about the knas? Because you were unspecific about whom you should be mekadosh, so we counseled you not to marry any other lady. But meikradin you could. Or but other rishonim disagree and say no, the Gemara is to wear meikradin because it's treated as 50-50 stop. It's called for kamechta mechatzam. And Rebbe Nechasim says if we assume the view of those rishonim, my question on the Rambam is the direct opposite. He says of the Shagas Arius question on the Rambam. So I'll just conclude with that. The Shagas again. The Rambam says that all Bnei Yishmael have to do mila because it might be a monks of Bnei Keturah. The Shagas Arius question is, I don't see why after Cherev came, they should be allowed to rely on the fact that they're porous from the Roiv nations who are not required to do Mila, and we should apply the called porous from a porous. At least in as much as we would have applied it to a Yid, we should be able to apply it to a Goy as well, despite notwithstanding some of the readers' contention that there's no din Roiv by a Goy, but because of Mir Kemida, we should be able to apply it to a Goy as well, and therefore they should all be potter from Mila based on Roiv. And the Minchim says, my problem with Rambam is the very reverse. Why does Rambam limit himself to say that only Bnei Yishmael have to do Mila because they might be amongst them Bnei Keturah? The Rambam should have paskened that the entire world has to do Mila. Why? Because somewhere out there there is a Bnei Keturah who has to do Mila. We don't know where it is, doesn't matter. It's no difference when a Shiliach was Mekadosh a woman that he's also to all women in the world because somewhere out there there is an Erevos. So to hear, since somewhere out there there is someone who's Mechuv Mila, we should say that. Kol Kivur Kamech Tamech Tadoma, and therefore every Goy out there should consider himself a 50-50 case of doubt whether he has to do Mila and therefore should have to do Mila. So the bottom line is that the Rambam, as of this morning, 9 o'clock in Machzik Hadas, remains schwer as to why he paskened that Bnei Yishmael have to do Mila, but that is the psak of the Rambam. Rashi of course disagrees. Rashi says it's only the six sons of Keturah themselves who have to do Mila, but the Rambam paskens that all Bnei Yishmael today have to do Mila.